This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Oh, my goodness, I love spending this time with you Monday through Friday, discussing issues of importance to your life and your faith. We're always eager to hear from you. We always want to know how it is that God is making His beautiful love for you apparent in your life. Oh, my goodness, when you share with us, it just edifies us. It builds us up. It helps for us to take the next step forward in our own relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that that's why He brings us all together. You know, this is why he gave us, you know, the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, right? This community of believers is so essential to each other because, you know, we're up against powers and principalities. We're up against the rulers of this present darkness. We're up against all of the, you know, difficulties and trials that come by way of living in a world, you know, a world that is fallen, redeemed, but nonetheless broken. And we live with broken and fallen people, ourselves included. You know, sometimes I get more frustrated with myself than with anybody else. But when we have each other, when we gather together in His name, when we share about the way in which He's showing up in our life, my goodness, you know, it helps us. It helps us. It helps to, you know, reshape that perspective of our day when things might not be going exactly the way we want, or even when, you know, entire seasons of our life are not going exactly as we want. So to that end, I invite you to give us a call here. Let me give you a toll-free number. It is toll-free for you here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It is the way that you can join us live here today on Women of Grace Live. You can also join us by going out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. The Facebook page is there for you. Excuse me. It's the YouTube channel that's there for you. We invite you to use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Use the chat feature that's there for you. Put in your question or comment, your insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved up on the board. We'll be able to address it today. Always eager for you to use every means available to you, and that's a good one. Another way in which you can join us is by texting your message to us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Those are the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, then text us your first name and your brief question. Do know that message and data rates may apply. We have Matthew Gubensky answering the phones today. Yes, we do. Collecting your text messages as well as your social media message. That is going to be Michael McCall. If you're a first timer, either way, I want to know, because then I'll ring my welcome bell for you to welcome you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. It tickles me when I go out and about and people say, oh, Johnette, you know, I called in, you rang your bell. You know, I think I shared with you when I was in Toronto for the family celebration about a month ago. I had a gentleman that came up and said, well, you know, this is my first time meeting you. Can you ring your welcome bell? So, well, if I would have had my welcome bell with me, I certainly would have rung it for you. But that being said, oh dear, I don't have a bell today, but I have one right now. There it is. Want to ring it for you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. You know, we are here for you Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, discussing these issues of importance to your life and faith. But we do that too on television. You know, do you watch the show Women of Grace? I always say that real men, you know, listen to and watch Women of Grace on EWTN. Our television program is also Monday through Friday, and it airs at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So I invite you to check that out. You know, I get really great guests on the program. We talk about very serious matters and some lighter matters. We talk about things that are important to, you know, your relationship with our Lord. So we're talking about the spiritual life in many of the episodes. We talk about cultural issues. Lots of cultural issues we talk about. We talk about relational issues, you know, how it is that you relate to each other. I recently had Suzanne Bars on. I've known Suzanne for ever so many years. Oh my goodness, probably more than 20 years now. I'm thinking maybe it's even more than 24 years. I think that I met Suzanne prior to the 2000s. She does wonderful work. She is a PhD. She is a mental health counselor. She promotes affirmation therapy understood rightly. Okay, understood rightly, not necessarily according to the New Age idea of affirmation, but understood rightly. And she really works with a lot of people that suffer from deprivation, emotional deprivation disorder. And marvelous work that was begun by her father, Dr. Conrad Bars. And he was a psychiatrist. He based his psychiatry along with another beautiful, beautiful woman of God. And I'm not going to be able to pronounce her name right. I never do, but it's Dr. Anna Terway. And I think that I've got it wrong again. But nonetheless, she was a Dutch psychiatrist. He was Dutch himself. But they really based the psychological and the psychiatric endeavor on the work of St. Thomas Aquinas and his understanding of the emotions. So the way in which Suzanne continues that work is absolutely in line with that. And so it is very Catholic in its orientation and underpinnings. Why am I telling you this? Because she was a guest recently on our program. I do believe that her programs aired earlier this week. So they're available for you at our website. If any of that, you know, seems to capture your attention, go out and watch those programs, because I think that they would be very, very helpful for you, very enlightening for you. So there's all of that that's going on there. In addition to that, we've got all kinds of marvelous other opportunities for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. I've been telling you about our Benedicta Institute Fall 2024 week-long immersive that's taking place at St. Bernard Abbey in Cullman, Alabama. That's coming up. That's October the 14th through the 20th. So, you know, we're into, just 11 days away. I am so excited about it. There is still time for you, though. As I mentioned to you, I think yesterday, we don't stack people into these immersives, because we want a lot of interaction. We want a lot of discussion, a lot of opportunities for the student to interact with our presenter, our teacher, who is our academic advisor, Dr. Donald Wallenfang. But we still have a couple of seats left available. So if the Holy Spirit is prompting you, I really want to encourage you to get in touch with us, and find out about it. We do have opportunities available for you, not only by way of availability, but also by way of financial assistance. So if you really want to come, we don't want that to be an obstacle to your coming. So do check it out at our website, womenofgrace.com. As I'm sharing with you, all kinds of good things available for you there. I've got more to share with you on the other side of the break. We're going to get into, I think, an interesting discussion today, but I am looking forward to your phone calls. Yes, I am. And we've got Carolyn with us. She's already called in. She is in West Virginia. We're going to come to you, Carolyn. Very eager to speak with you. We want to talk with you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. In addition to that, use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel to leave a question or comment there, or text your question. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Jonette Williams, Women of Grace Live, coming right back following the break. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, we are so happy that you are back with us, and we're inviting you to give us a call here, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. That is the way that you can join us live here, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. You can also text your message to us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in a short message for us there, and do know that message and data rates may apply. Also, want you to know that we've got, time today to spend together. So let's make use of the opportunity. I do want to send a congratulations out to our great EWTN radio partner before we get to Carolyn. I do want to do this. Our Lady of Mount Carmel Education and Evangelization Society in Pittsburgh, Kansas is celebrating 10 years with EWTN. I am so excited about this for so many reasons. First of all, I love Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Second of all, I grew up in Pittsburgh, but not Pittsburgh, Kansas, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So just double congratulations for celebrating these 10 wonderful years with EWTN. Congratulations to you, Father Bob McGowie, and your great team at KOOJ from all of your friends here at EWTN. Wonderful, wonderful work you're doing in bringing the life and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ to so many. Well, I mentioned to you that we have Carolyn with us. She is a first-time caller. I'm so excited. I can start the show by ringing my bell for Carolyn. She's there in West Virginia listening to us via Sirius XM Station 130. Good morning to you, Carolyn. How are you?
Yes, good morning. I'm fine. I wanted to share something of my own experience, and I also have a question about the Eucharist.
Okie doke.
Maybe somebody can help me out with that. So I'm not a member of the Catholic Church, but I want to rejoin the church. When I was 18 years old, I left it. In my home country, Germany, we basically sign a form at our local municipality for departing the church officially, not being registered Catholic anymore, not paying taxes anymore. And I have to say, I never had issues with believing in God or Christ. My parents, they are non-religious. They never went to church. But as a child, I had that natural longing for God. And I went to church every Sunday alone by myself. I was baptized in the church, received communion, was confirmed in the church. And the reason why I quit going to church and eventually left was basically a confession gone wrong. As a child, I suffered sexual abuse by several men. And when I was about 11, I couldn't keep it for myself anymore. Yes. And I told a substitute priest who didn't know me personally. Mm-hmm. And I came out with that feeling that he blamed it on me, basically. Mm. But in later years, thankfully, by God's grace, I could basically turn my life around. I started studying psychology, social work, became a teacher. And, you know, you reflect on these things, of course. And yes. I think what he tried to tell me basically was to find a way out of my situation. And I also have to say, I see it more from a human standpoint now. He was like in his 80s back then, and it was like the mid-late 90s. When all of that happened, I lived in a rural setting. There was not much awareness about that topic, not much training about that topic, and I understand that now. But that was one of my grudges why I left the church. Mm-hmm. From my adulthood years, I'm 37 now, I spent it mostly in different evangelical churches because I had a conversion to Christ when I was 19. But I basically stopped going to those Protestant evangelical churches too. And since 2 years, I have that urge in my soul. And it's basically like it's really strong. And it's just getting stronger and stronger. And it says basically, you need to come back to the church. You need to come back to the church and you need to go to confession. And first, I didn't know what it was. And I started thinking about it. And it became more and more evident to me that what drew me to the church and where this feeling comes from is the Eucharist. And because no matter where I was, no matter in which evangelical church I was, I never felt such a peace and such a wholeness and communion with God than after receiving the Eucharist. Mm. And my question is, because I'm out of the church for so long and I never had like really a theological training or anything about it, my question is, what is it about the Eucharist that does it? Because it is like that absolute feeling of wholeness and love. Mm-hmm. And I really, like, as if your soul is directly connected to God after receiving it. My question is just, how does the Eucharist do it? And also, as I said, I have this urge to rejoin the church or to ask for readmission since 2 years. It's just coming up and coming up and coming up. And friends come in my life, and they happen to be Catholic. And I'm just about to call my priest from my original parish, basically to make an appointment with him and ask for readmission. But I would be just so interested to know, what is it about the Eucharist and why is it drawing me?
Carolyn, this is truly a beautiful story on so many levels, and what a grace you are receiving. You are receiving a prompting directly from the Holy Spirit. The evidence of that is the fact that he is prompting you to go to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Why is it? What is it about the Eucharist? Well, yes. The reality is the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Eucharist is our Lord Jesus Christ, hidden under the veil of bread and wine. He is there. The entirety of his person is there. And what's happening, if you were to ask me what I think is happening, the Holy Spirit is prompting you, and Jesus is wooing you to himself. He's calling you to himself, like a lover calls a beloved. He's calling you to himself. He wants to give himself to you whole and entire. He wants to enter into the innermost confines of your being and begin this process of leading you ever more deeply into relationship with him. And so, you know, this is the fullness of the spiritual life. This is what he's calling you forth for, to give you everything, every spiritual blessing in the heavens. He wants you to know it. He wants you to know that he's always with you, that he's always been with you. And though you wandered away, he's never wandered from you. And that's probably the reason why, even though you traveled, you know, a bit of a circuitous route, he's bringing you back to the beginning. He's bringing you back to the reality of your baptism. You know, and, you know, I just want to comment too that, and he understands. See, this is the beautiful thing about our Lord. He understands. He understands that deep wound in your heart that you experienced by way of sexual molestation. He understands the little girl ears that heard a priest trying to give the best advice he could, and probably someone who was, as you so rightly stated, not well equipped to give that advice. Probably not having much experience with that, and having grown up in a culture where such matters were not talked about, and probably not trained to respond to a child who has experienced this, except to say, get out of the circumstance. But in those little girl ears, and in the matter of the wound that was in your heart, you received that differently than I'm sure this priest wanted you to receive it. But Jesus sees all that, and he knows, and he's waited for this perfect moment 2 years ago, beginning to prompt you through his own Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, to return to him in his fullness, that he might return to you your fullness, that he might take you the full distance on the healing of this wound in your heart, which has already begun, beautifully begun, but he wants to resolve it completely. And he does that through his own presence, through his own body, blood, soul, and divinity, active and alive in you. So do make that phone call. Set up that appointment with your priest. Talk with him. That's all that's necessary for you to return to the church. You know, you can return to the church now, but for you to receive the sacrament of Eucharist, for you to receive Jesus into the inner confines of your being, physically receive him, it is important for you to, you know, to make your amends with his church, right? And yes, so that's what you want to do, sweetheart.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. I mean, that just encouraged me. That really, really encouraged me, because like the past days I was thinking, shall I call my parish priest? Shall I not? And I just wanted to know what is behind the Eucharist and why this aspect is calling me. And yes, I'm going to make that appointment right now, this afternoon.
I am so excited. And remember, the Eucharist is not a what. The Eucharist is a who. So you're receiving your Lord. Oh, goodness, Carolyn. Honey, you have made my day. You have made, this is why we do what we do on the air. You have made my day. I am just so excited for you. I'm so grateful for you. I am so happy that you called to share your testimony with us and to ask your question and to follow through with it. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you. You've blessed me, honey. You've blessed me abundantly, and all of our listeners too.
Just to encourage me and just give me like that feedback I needed, because I was like insecure. Did I make it all up in my head? What is it about the Eucharist? But it just gave me confirmation just to do that step and call my priest.
Well, please do. And after you receive Jesus for the first time again, you call and let us know how it was for you, okay?
I will. I will, most definitely.
Okay, okay. Remember, when you're walking down the aisle, you know, just picture yourself in bridal attire. You're going to meet your groom, the groom of your soul, your bridegroom.
Yes, amen, yeah.
God bless you, sweetheart. Bye-bye now. Oh my goodness! I don't know what you're feeling right now, but I can tell you, folks, I've got goosebumps from head to toe on that call. What a beautiful, beautiful witness and testimony, and how important it is for us to always have that openness of heart to realize that when we receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, we are receiving our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And this is why it's important to go with that interior expectation, you know, that interior hope. We don't ever want the reception of our Lord to be something that's routine. And, you know, I want to say it was St. Catherine of Siena who talked about the fervency with which we receive our Lord also has to do with the efficacy of the sacrament, right? Think about that. You're entering into a relationship. You're taking Jesus into your own being, right? Well, picture yourself going out with a friend, right? And you sit down at that table and you're preoccupied about many things and your friend is there, right? Right in front of you. But you're so preoccupied with many things that you're not really paying attention to that friend. Or because you know that friend so well, or you've had dinner or lunch or breakfast with that friend so very frequently, it's lost its excitement for you. You're going to walk away from that encounter with your friend with very little. You know, it's what is it going to do for you? What has it done for your friend? Nothing. And it's kind of like that when we receive the Eucharist. You know, when we go with fervency, with expectant faith, when we go with the whole of ourselves to give the whole of ourselves to Jesus, he's giving the whole of himself to us. He's already doing that for us in the Eucharistic presence. And so, you know, if we acknowledge that reality and allow ourselves to be open to that and also prepared for it, and excited about it, spiritually excited about it with a holy anticipation, well, we're going to receive so much because Jesus has so much to give. He's giving it, but we have to be there to receive it. But we often don't think about this. We often don't think about how much Jesus desires this gift of ourselves to him. That in a way, you know, there's nothing lacking in our Lord, but in a way that recognition of him contributes in some way to the glory, you know, you know, that is there for us. So anyway, it's just some thoughts to think about today. They're beautiful, beautiful thoughts. And I'm eager to get your thoughts. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's our toll-free number for you right here in North America. And, you know, we can talk about this. We can talk about anything that's going on in your life. Maybe you want to share with us a little bit about your relationship with the Lord. Maybe the Holy Spirit's been prompting you in a certain way. My goodness, he's always at work. He never stops working. We've got about 2 minutes before we go to the break. I'm going to encourage you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. Also, to leave a question or a comment for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. It's there for you, the chat feature. Put your question or comment in there. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board. You can text your question or comment to us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment, who you are, where you're calling from, and be sure to remember that message and data rates may apply. As we go to the break, let me just read this to you. All phone lines are lighting up. Makes me so happy. Here is something quite beautiful. And, you know, I think that it in a certain way kind of fits into what Carolyn was sharing with us. This comes from Carol Hauslander's book, The Passion of the Infant Christ. I'm a big fan of hers. And this is what she writes here. Christ came out of the darkness of the womb. He was the light of the world. He came to give the world life. The life of the whole world burnt in the tiny flame of an infant's life. It began the age-long fight with death in the least and frailest that human nature can be. In the helplessness, the littleness, the blindness of an infant, life prevailed. The light of the world shone in the darkness. Now hear this. Over and over again in every human life, love and death meet face to face. No human power or splendor or strength, no material might or wealth can overcome death, the death of the soul. But if the life in the soul is the tiniest spark of the life of Christ, love prevails and death is overcome in us. Beautiful things to think about. As we go to our break, 833-288-EWTN. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jonette Williams. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jonette Williams. Very happy to be with you. I'm inviting you to check out our website, womenofgrace.com. All kinds of good things there for you. Very excited about a new feature that we have. We've got an on-demand study feature for you. You'll see it when you go onto the website there on the right-hand side of the homepage. You'll see a big purple and pink and white button. It says click on this. If you click on that, it's going to take you out there and show you all of the opportunities that are available for you online. And we've got some great things there. We've got our entire Women of Grace Foundational Study Series online for you right now, right? All of the materials are there. Beautiful, beautiful way for you to take the study, especially if you're outside of North America. The reason why I say that is because it saves you, you know, the exorbitant fees and duty costs that it takes to get the materials to you. So this is a way for you to receive them right there in digital format. So we invite you to check that out. Oftentimes, you know, we do have online studies for you. We advertise those pretty routinely and regularly. But this particular feature shows you items there that you will download. They will go into your own special little place and they'll be accessible to you all of the time. So we're quite excited about this. Very, very eager to see the Lord take Women of Grace into areas where prior to, it was just too much for the foundational study to make its journey there. So we invite you to check this out, especially if you're listening to us outside of the continental United States of America. Wonderful things there for you. We want to get to Josie. She's out there in Columbus, Ohio today, listening to us via St. Gabriel Radio. We're so happy that St. Gabriel Radio carries Women of Grace. We're delighted about it. Let's get to Josie right now. Hi, Josie.
Hi, Jeanette. Your program is such a blessing, and I overheard your conversation with Carolyn, and just absolutely beautiful. And I just wanted to share with you one of my favorite Bible verses that actually comes from many years ago when my husband and I were married to 38 years ago here in Columbus. And it comes from John's Gospel, chapter 17, and his priestly prayer, which for us, you know, was, I thought of it at the time, just directed to us as a couple, but then, of course, evolving as our family grew and then our relationships with each other as extended family, as a church family, and, you know, to anyone we meet. And that verse, John chapter 17, verse 21, in particular, that they may all be one, Father, even as you are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And it just struck me how much Carolyn really, in my estimation, experienced this mystical union and is drawn so strongly to Christ through this priestly prayer of his.
Josie, that's beautiful, and it's one of my favorite passages as well. I think that so many of us look at that, and we think about the great privilege that is ours to receive our Lord body, blood, and soul, and divinity. He wants to bring us the fullness of his being, and this is the way that he does it. I think, too, you know, when he tells us in sacred scripture, and it tells the apostles as well, you know, that he's always going to be with them, and he will send his spirit, you know, Paraclete, who will make all things apparent to them. They will understand more by way of this Holy Spirit than they understand now. And why is that? It's because his desire is for union. I mean, we can go back to what happened in the fall in Genesis 3, and we can think about that breach that occurred between God and man. God did not cause that breach. Man called that breach. And the whole of salvation history from that moment forward, from, you know, the proclamation of Genesis 3:15, you know, God is saying, no, I'm going to lead my people back to me. You know, I'm going to lead my people back to this original harmony that we had together.
Yeah.
And that's what that beautiful verse that you've quoted is stating. This is the reconciliation that he wants us to know, each and every individual soul, but also all of us corporately in the world. You know, every man, woman, and child he's calling to himself.
Yes, exactly, and it's just so wonderful, and it's just something we need to live out day to day, no matter what struggles we encounter.
Yes, it's true. And we're going to have those struggles because, you know, we're in this process of reconstruction. You know, we're in this process of reconciliation. We can experience that individually, but the rest of the world is the world is the world. And until he comes again, the world itself is going to be scarred by the transgressions of man. You know, we talked, I think, yesterday or the day before about the fact that, you know, there's a corporate effect of sin. You know, there is no such thing as a private sin. This is why this nonsense about, you know, privacy acts, you know, I can do in private what I want to do, or if it's just two consenting people. No, there is a corporate effect of that. And, you know, this whole process is in the midst of happening. It's not happened yet, this complete reconciliation, but it's in process, and we know it will happen. It's going to happen, you know, but it can happen for us individually. And that's what thrilled me about Carolyn, you know, her call was the fact that, you know, she's receiving, I think, a very beautiful grace from the Lord. It's one of those signal graces from the Holy Spirit, calling her very specifically to this moment. So thank you for sharing that verse. I think it's the perfect verse for this moment.
Thank you so much, Jeanette.
God bless you, Josie.
God bless
Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Congratulations on 38 years of marriage, by the way. It's beautiful. Yeah, you know, we don't understand. And I think that the passage that I was reading from Hauslander's book, The Passion of the Infant Christ, speaks to that reality, right? You know, it says over and over again, in every human life, love and death meet face to face. no human power or splendor or strength, no material might or wealth can overcome death, the death of the soul. But if the life in the soul is the tiniest spark of the life of Christ, love prevails and death is overcome in us. I mean, those are very hopeful words, aren't they? I mean, I think they're exhilarating words. You know, they're words that encourage us and beckon us forward on this path to holiness of life and sanctification. The more that we give way to the territories of our being, to our Lord, the more he is able to take up, a new fullness within us, right? And what is the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is to be completely filled with our Lord, filled to overflowing. And not even the vicissitudes of life can interrupt that process. They can only interrupt that process if we let them interrupt that process. And how do we let them interrupt the process? Well, we let them interrupt the process by making them greater than the life of Christ in us. In other words, when we look at the trials and the tribulations and the reversals in life, we look at the wounds of our heart. We'll go back to Carolyn's beautiful sharing with us this morning. You know, she's talking about this travesty that she experienced as a child, having been molested by several different men. She's sharing that. That's a terrible wound in the heart of a woman. Terrible, terrible wound. And if we allow that wound to consume us, then that wound triumphs over us. It snuffs out the life of Christ in us because we're making it greater than the life of Christ in us. But when we appropriate the life of Christ and allow him into that wound so that he can be king of the wound, savior of the wound, he begins a process of healing and reconstruction in us. And Carolyn said that. You know, she talked about the fact that, you know, she eventually dug deeply into, you know, the psychological devastation that can happen as a result of this, the spiritual devastation that can result because of a situation like that. She dug into that. She began to understand it better. And sometimes we need the help of a counselor. I was talking about Suzanne Barrs earlier. So many good ones, you know, Dr. Ray on every day. Sometimes we need the advice and counsel of a good, strong mental health person to help us to navigate that process, right? To uncover it, because sometimes it remains buried very deeply, or we deny the effect that it's had on our life. We can do that. We don't realize that we're actually acting out of the wound. See, the wound can take over such control of us that we act out of the wound. It controls us. And we build up a whole system of life around that wound. You know, defense mechanisms. Sometimes we even revisit that original travesty through our free will consent. Allowing ourselves through our permission to be taken advantage of in ways like that. It's an incredible thing, the human psyche. And sometimes we need people to help us move through those dark corridors of scathing that's happened to us as a result of that. The systems of thinking, the ways in which we've become, a victim of that wound. And, you know, that can be very useful and very, very helpful. But any good psychologist, any good psychiatrist, any good mental health counselor will tell you that that's really where their capacity ends, their human capacity. Psychologists, mental health counselors, absolutely beautiful, holy people of God that strive to take us into a deeper understanding of the situation that we experienced and its effect on us, can take us there. They can help for us to unpack all that. They can help for us to face all that. But that's about where it takes us. They can help for us to develop coping mechanisms, right? Even behavioral modification techniques that can help for us to resolve aspects of its control, but not to heal us. The healing comes from one who can heal. And there is only one who can heal. And the one who can heal is Jesus. He is the healer. He is the one who comes to set us free. He is the one who vanquishes the demons of the past. He is the one who makes all things new. Paul talks about the old man, right? The old man has been put to death. Now all is made new. All is made new. And it can take a lifetime. It can take a lifetime. It can take a really, really long time. But with each step in that process, each step in that movement of grace that flows into our being, each, you know, release from a chain that's held us, you know, to its misery, each release of that breathes the life of God into us. And sometimes we say, well, why does Jesus just do it? Why does it take so long? Because so very often these very, very deep wounds have affected us so greatly that if God healed us all at one time, we would not be able to have any kind of capacity to be able to move in that healing. We would be crushed by it. Our psyche would be broken by it. The Lord is a gentle healer. Gentle, gentle, gentle. He takes us bit by bit by bit, light by light by light, new moment by new moment by new moment. But he will take us the distance. We have to be patient. We have to be open. We have to be receptive. Oh, and the Eucharist can do so much to take us that distance. Receiving him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, inviting him into that very wound. Lord, come into this part of my being. Come into this horrid memory, or come into this scar that is there, or come into this manhandling. I love that beautiful account of the Passion. I've shared this with you so often, but maybe you've never heard before. That beautiful account of the Passion that St. Mark gives us. One time in my own time of prayer, when I was working through a deep wound of the heart, the Lord directed me there. And you know, it seems as though the Holy Spirit was telling me, circle every word that has to do with the Passion of Jesus. And I did. And I found that in that Passion, and Mark's account does it to a degree that none of the others do, every single misery of man is present in the sufferings of Christ. That's what he was drawing my attention to. Every one of them. He was manhandled. He was abused. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was reviled. He was betrayed. Name anything that we could experience in our human existence, and Jesus experienced it. The next paragraph in this beautiful, The Passion of the Infant Christ, says this. You know, I'll read the first one again. Over and over again in every human life, love and death meet face to face. No human power or splendor or strength, no material might or weight can overcome death. See, that wound of the heart wants to level death against you. Death. That's how the devil wants to use it, to level death. And no human power or splendor or strength, no material might or wealth can overcome death, the death of the soul. But if the life in the soul is the tiniest spark of the life of Christ, love prevails and death is overcome in us. You see, we want to stimulate that life of Christ in us through our consent to that life of Christ in us, to that reception of the life of Christ in us. Next paragraph. Christ came out of the darkness of the tomb. He came back from the helplessness and blindness and silence of death. And his feet that walked on earth bore the wounds of death, and his hands that touched the flowers and the grass bore the wounds of death. He had overcome the world. He had died all our deaths and had overcome death. So wherever you are dead by way of that wound of the heart, Jesus has triumphed over it. That's what Hauslander is suggesting in this beautiful poetic prose of hers. All over the world, in generation after generation, she writes, men rose from the dead. All over the world, everywhere, there was resurrection and Easter morning in the heart of man. Do you hear that? How glorious is that? God is speaking that word to you right now. He's impacting you through that word right now. So he says, will you say yes? Will you give fiat to the life that I want to bring? Will you take the next step with me? Will you receive the next grace of healing from me? Will you turn in my direction rather than the direction of the wound that I might release you from it? That my own body and blood, soul, and divinity can vivify you and bring you back to life in that place. Is that glorious? Is that remarkable? Is that wonderful? Is there anything more you could ask for? You know, is there anything more that you need? You know, isn't that those beautiful, beautiful words? Is there anything more that you need? And of course, what is the answer to that question? No. No. There's nothing more than we need. Nothing. Nothing. And yet this one who is the healer, the savior, the redeemer, the Messiah, the one who brings us back to life, who brings resurrection, who brings renewal, who brings healing, he will not trespass our free will. We have to give fiat and say yes and cooperate with the grace as he gives it. Oh my goodness. We should really, I think, allow ourselves to take that into a time of prayer and meditation and surrender. Surrender. And our mother, she wants to hold us in her arms while the process is going on. Those words, is there anything else that you need, comes from her to Juan Diego. Am I not here who am your mother? She is there. She will walk with us. She will help us in every way. I want to get to Kevin's text before we run out of time here. He texted us this. He's driving back from Pittsburgh. So I'm not sure if this is Pittsburgh with the H or Pittsburgh without the H. Pennsylvania has the H. Kansas does not. But I think it might be Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He says, why do I go to adoration 3 times weekly but don't go to Mass on Sunday? Well, gee whizzikers, Kevin. I that's the question I should be asking you, right? So why do you go to adoration 3 times weekly but you don't go to Mass on Sunday? I can't figure that one out. It's a good question to ask yourself. What is it that's holding you back from Mass? I mean, I can think of things that might be holding you back from Mass, but I don't know. I would be guessing and speculating. But to go to adoration 3 times a week obviously tells me that you realize that you were sitting there before the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You give your assent, A-S-S-E-N-T, to that every time you show up at adoration. So why would you not receive him? What, you know, your time of adoration should be stimulating this deeper desire to receive him. You know, I mean, you know, it's a prelude to the wedding night. You know, the wedding night is the reception of him, right? It's a prelude to that. It's a prelude every week to that, you know? And so I don't know why you would do that unless you are unable to receive because there's an impediment there. You know, when was the last time you went to confession? Have you made a good confession? Is there a mortal sin that's keeping you away? Are you in an irregular marriage? I don't know. Is it laziness? Do you kind of use the time of adoration as a rationalization for not needing to go because you were there? Well, I know beholding Jesus face to face is absolutely wonderful, but it doesn't supplant receiving him. Body, blood, soul, and divinity into the inner confines of your being. So I don't know why But I would really take that into a lot of prayer and ask the Lord to show you what's holding you back. Because He wants to resolve it. And everything that we talked about today is pointing to that, Kevin. Whatever it is, He wants to heal it and boot it out of your life that He might waltz on in and be with you. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Clinging to your inmost parts. Well, friends, it's been absolutely wonderful being with you today. I just so enjoy this time with you. I hope you enjoy it too. We're going to be back with you again tomorrow. It is a Glory to God Day on Friday, so be sure to even now be thinking about the blessings that you will be thanking the Lord for and give Him public acclamation through our program tomorrow. God bless you. Until then, see you soon. Bye.